You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 3rd of November. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, the MassMart update, and I want to get her thoughts on Tesla. Mia's a smart person. Tesla is hurting my head. Then we're chatting, Octodec results come out, mostly student accommodation, although a lot of sort of the inner city retail as well. And then talking with Bruce Williamson, the investment case for PGMs, and particularly his preferred PGM miner. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. SA secures 131 billion rand commitment to transition to a low carbon economy. The UK, US, France, Germany and the EU will assist in that cash. We need the T's and C's. We're not quite sure. Government has put out a statement and they will do it over the next 12 months. From Business Day, MassMart on the mend. This says they still had to foot a 650 million rand shortfall on their insurance claim. The unrest cost them 2.5 billion, and they got left carrying 650 million. US markets were green overnight. S&P and NASDAQ both up 0.4%, all-time highs for both. Sydney's up 0.9%. Tokyo is closed for Culture Day. They have the best holidays. Commodities red overnight. Gold, $17.84. Brent, $83.55. Palladium holding at $20.20. Rand, $15.42. And the top 40, a 20-point red open. I think we can essentially call that flat as 10 cent trades down 0.6% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Talking now with Mia Kruger, director at Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning. That MassMart update yesterday, market really liked it. Pricing the stock up, what, 8.5% on the day. My sense of it was, I mean, MassMart has been a fair bit of a turnaround story. Obviously, they had all the COVID impacts. They had the July riots and the like. If you move that out, there is a sense that the turnaround is gaining some traction.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, definitely. I think this is a great turnaround opportunity story that we're seeing unfold here. Also, if you look at the share price, that's exactly what the market has showed us, is that people that got in or investors that got into MassMart a year ago has nearly doubled their money from those lows. Now, you should have had nerves of steel buying that recovery story, but it does seem when we look at this 39-week period update that they gave us that they are really implementing this very well, where they've already utilized or achieved about 1.3 billion of the 1.9 billion cost savings that they're targeting. So that does seem like a hard work done, especially when we consider the fact that we had that very bad looting experience for them in July, where we all saw the pictures, the videos of the micros rather being looted. And they were literally looted to the ground at two of their depots in KwaZulu-Natal. And as you mentioned in the intro, they are bearing quite a big burden of that due to the fact that Sasria isn't paying out all the money that they have lost during the looting, and they are bearing about a 650 million rand loss due to that. But despite that, if we just focus on some of the numbers that we saw come out of this report, is the fact that they have grown their very successful builders' warehouse, where we still see a quite strong a demand from people to improve their living space, get everything ready for the summer holiday. And that is definitely still the strongest grower in the portfolio. They've closed some of their underperforming businesses like the Dion Wired. We know that malls, no one went to malls. We saw that also in the numbers. Yes, when you look at the game numbers. But they've changed the layout of those stores, and we'd really hope to see foot flow increase there. But this is clearly, as I said from the beginning, a turnaround story. There is some exciting points that I've been watching the last while for MassMart, where they've bought into online business called also, now I just lost the name there. OneCart. And that will really give them the opportunity to grow their online presence. We don't know how they'll be utilizing that, but with the integration of the various businesses, where they really work much closer together to get some cost-saving initiatives with Builders Warehouse, Macro Game, Mascot, etc., I think that this could really give them the next leg up in South Africa to utilize that online platform. That online platform is already used by various other retailers, and mm-hmm. we don't know how they're really going to position themselves in that. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch going forward.
Yeah, and that one card, I agree. I mean, if you look at Walmart in the U.S. parent company here, Walmart takes it to Amazon. So I'm interested in their online strategy. A quick question around Tesla, which I ask because maybe you've got cooler heads. I mean, do you watch in amazement, confusement? Are you holding? What's your take on the story that is a giant story that is Tesla?
Well, most definitely amazement. I mean, how can you not? But I think it's just important to keep stay level-headed and just keep your wits about you, because when you look at the numbers, you know, it really doesn't make sense. There's so many comparisons that I've read lately on Twitter that I really like. The one that I found particularly insightful was the fact that when you look at Tesla, they're now worth on their market cap nearly half of what Apple's worth at Apple's $2.4 trillion valuation, but they only generate about 13% of the revenue that Apple generates. And the kicker for me is the fact that they only generate about 3.6% of the profit that Apple generates. Apple generates about $100 billion of profit, where you would expect someone that's valued half of Apple to be earning about $50 billion of profit, but no, Tesla's only still at $3.5 billion. So we need to keep our wits about us. And when you look at that share price just the last couple of days, it's going hyperbolically up. And anything that goes up like that is coming down. And when you listen to just Elon Musk, he's clearly very, very concerned about that, because he's also tweeted that people should remember that they're pricing in this massive deal with Hertz, but the deal hasn't even gone through yet. So don't count your chickens before they hatch. Having said all of this, I'm still a massive fan of Tesla, and I'd love to drive a Tesla one day, but I'm not so excited about the valuation at this stage.
Yeah, I definitely want to drive one, but I like your point. We need to be level-headed, and I like that comparison to Apple. Richard, back of a matchbox, says Tesla's about 12x overvalued. Mia Kruger, Director at Kruger International, as always, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking in with Jeffrey Wapnick, MD of Octodec. Results out for year-end August. Jeffrey, appreciate the time this morning. Let's quickly first touch on distribution income. You've withheld some of that distributable income to pay down debt. That does have a tax implication for Octodec. Are you taking the view here, let's rather, in what has been, I imagine, the toughest year in the company's history, let's get rid of some of that debt and make a balance sheet that looks better. And I think we have just lost Jeffrey off the line. He seems to have gone. They're in a tough space. They're Shwani, Johannesburg, residential, a lot of students there, a lot of low income. People have obviously been losing jobs. Students have been returning home or not even coming back necessarily to varsity for the 2021 year. We saw some of that in the Stadio results that came out earlier in the year. They've also got the ground floor shopping centres, but again, things have been closed. It's been really, really tough out there. Jeffrey is back. Jeffrey, appreciate your time this morning. I was just wanting to touch quickly on that distributable income. You're withholding some of it to pay down the debt. That does have a tax implication for you. But I suppose after what's been the toughest year in the history of the company, probably a smart move to get some of those debt levels down.
Yes. Optivec was in a fortunate position that as a result of previous allowances, primarily those allowances that accrue to Optivec due to the UDZ, Urban Development Zone allowances, Optivec had built up quite a substantial assessed loss. And these losses were used to enable us to do what we did without too much of a tax leakage.
Ah, got you. Okay, that makes a whole bunch of sense. Residential, you've obviously got a lot of residential, Swanee and Johannesburg, as I was mentioning there. And I mean, a lot of this is going to be lower income. A lot of it's going to be students. And we've seen from some of the listed tertiary stocks that students were returning home, doing their courses over Zoom, or simply not returning in 2021. How much of your residential is that student market? How bad has that impact been?
Well, our residential is roughly 30% of Optivec by way of revenue, and roughly a third of that 30%, in other words, 10%, is from what our records are showing us, our students. This together with this student, the way you've described the problem with the students is absolutely true. It was Optivec's biggest loss. That caused previous distribution reductions in prior years, but I'm pleased to report that things look like they're coming back. Universities, I know that UCT, Rhodes, News on the Street is at Tux, is also doing it. They're going to have compulsory vaccination. If you want to come back in the new year, you have to be vaccinated. So it looks like the universities are looking to do something to get the students back.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the same from people I know who are at WITS, who are also planning to be back in person next year. You've also got your shopping centres, and these are street level shops, some malls and the like. They're well located for foot traffic. Of course, in a pandemic, there's less of that. But you are seeing some new leasing deals being signed. Almost some green shoots coming through, and with some big tenants sort of signing up as normality returns to the cities.
Yeah, I'm always believe that property people are not the smart people. The smart people are the retailers. Why? Because they have all the cash till centrally connected, and they know exactly where the turnovers are coming from. And so when a retailer comes to us and he says, "I want space in the CBD," we know this is still good.
Yeah, they're seeing stuff. They're seeing it there.
They are to kit out a big store to stock it up. It's a serious investment. They're not going to do it without proper homework.
Yeah, actually, I like that point. The retailers are. They watch that literally minute by minute. Jeffrey Wapnick, MD Octadec, as always, appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Jenny and I with Bruce Williamson. He's Integral Asset Management. Bruce, appreciate the early morning. We chatted, I was going to say a few months ago, but actually it was mid-year, so it was many months ago. We talked PGMs, and PGMs have been under pressure since we last spoke, most notably rhodium, but that $30,000 price was probably a little crazy. This really is the vehicle production and hence PGM demand. I mean, is it fair to say that is the key story in the weakness, and there's not other, perhaps, stories lurking in the background?
Yeah, it is. Morning, Simon, and morning to the listeners. It's mainly the chip problem. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was early on in the year, January, February, when people became aware of the chip problem, and it's affected all industries,
mm-hmm.
is people mainly thought that it would be over by mid-year or latest by sort of now, November.
Yeah.
And that was just a very wrong assumption. If you listen to what the CEOs on the auto side and on the chip side were saying, is there was no more capacity, and it was going to take a huge effort, a lot of money, and a lot of time. And so we're talking well into next year and maybe 2023 before there's enough chips to go around. Yeah. And, of course, what happened was COVID lockdown meant a lot of people started ordering a lot more electronic-related goods.
Yeah, which then put pressure on other parts. And everyone I speak to has been saying to me all year, it'll resolve itself in 6 months. And as you say, we're now well into resolving next year. I mean, that's it. The PGM prices, I mean, they're off those peak levels of around mid-year. I mentioned rhodium at 30,000 or so. But they're still good prices. I mean, these miners, you know, palladium just over 2,000, platinum over 1,000, rhodium around 13,000. These PGM miners still make strong profits at those price points.
Yeah, sure. Let me put that in perspective, is that the 6 months to June was an absolute record 6 months, way bigger than anything else. The average basket price for the six PGMs in dollars was about 3,200.
Mm-hmm.
In rands, it was 43,700 rand per six PGE. Is all that's happened now in the 6 months leading up to December now, is yes, you're right, prices have fallen off between 20 and 30%, but we are going to experience the second highest six-month period ever. So we're looking at $2,500 on the 6 PGE,
mm-hmm.
and in rand terms, about 37,000. So that now is, if we relate the 6 months to this December compared to a year ago, we're going to be well up. We're going to be 20% up in dollars and about probably 9% up in rand.
Yeah.
So it's the second best 6 months ever.
Yeah, it might not be June, but it's still going to be really, really good. So taking this all in, you and your colleagues at Integral Asset Management there, which is your preferred PGM miner on the local bourse?
All right. I think the way I think about it is that all the PGM miners do a very similar thing, and they've been around for a long, long, long time, 50, 60 years, 70 years, is they all mine Norinsky, UG2, and Amplats has got a lot more Platreef. But similar product, similar one. So the one that I selected was, and going back 2-3 years ago, was Northam, because that was the sort of ugly sister. It was reliant on one mine, Zonder Einde. It was the deepest platinum mine in the world. Going nowhere and battling. And Paul Dunn and the management team, it was a stroke of genius. They cancelled the previous BEE deal in 2015, raised a net 4.2 billion rand, and spent it very, very wisely. Yes, it was expensive money, but they were buying at the bottom of the market. And today they have Zonder Einde, Booysendal, and Ierland, and they are adding to those businesses. I mean, we're still looking at between now and 2025 and another 45% more metal coming out of the operations. And it's largely paid for. Yeah, there's another 3 years of 4 billion capex per year, but the bulk of the heavy lifting and hard work is done. Very stable. They've jacked up their furnacing business, and that'll be all in order by 2025. So, you know, there's less that can go wrong with Northam than some of the others.
And I like your point. They did it at the right point in the market rather than perhaps doing it at this point in the market where we're suddenly seeing a flurry of activity. Bruce Williamson, mining analyst, you find him at Integral Asset Management. Really appreciate the early morning. Our question this morning we're asking on our LinkedIn and social media. We're talking as PGMs. What's your view? It'll bounce back, or are you concerned? No, that boom is over. I've got to say, I like the record that we saw in June, but I'll take a second best. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for the show today. Our poll yesterday, we were asking you about that last remaining weeks to the year end. About, what, 7 or 8 of them or so. Do we rally? Do we wobble? Do we collapse? 2/3 of you were absolutely, we're going to rally into the year end. 1/3 of you were less convinced and saying, not so sure about how this last couple of weeks is going to play out. As always, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.